I mentioned it in my prayer about being part of a kingdom of priests. If you read that, you can read that in Revelation, and you'll find out really who we are. We're not just people walking along the earth and doing things, but we're called to do a purpose, called for something for a purpose. The word in the words, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, Sally read about from Isaiah about being a shoot brought up. And then as I was jotted down one phrase as she was reading from Romans, attitude of mind. Attitude of mind. And so I thought about these words in John. In the beginning, the Word already existed. What's that mean? Well, that means in the beginning, Jesus was with God. We don't think about that a lot because we think, well, in the beginning, God created the world. But the Trinity was there. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were there. It says the Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So what is the Word within the words? Ernest Marty wrote something I thought was very interesting. And scientists say that there's something out there called ethers. I looked this up and it was an interesting thing, but I'd read this. Out in space somewhere, there's something called ethers. And every word that we have ever spoken is somewhere out in these ethers. Now, that's according to science. Ernest Marty wrote about those four ethers. He said, every word that we speak is never lost, but is out there in the eternal ethers. And I look back and think some of the things I said, I wish they would have been lost. But unfortunately, they're not. So I want you to think about something with me as we go through this thought this morning. 750 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah spoke the words that Sally read. 750 years, those words were in existence. But you know what? Nothing ever happened until God spoke. There's really nothing lost in the words we speak, whether they're words of blessing or words of cursing. They are never lost. So I want to take a look at Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created. This is from the Amplified, so it goes in a little bit more detail, but created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste of emptiness. We can close our eyes and see nothing but black and wonder, you know, is this what emptiness is? But it says nothing but emptiness. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Primeval ocean that covered the uninformed earth. The Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving in nothingness, in emptiness, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. So imagine with me a huge mass of darkness, a huge mass of nothing, if you can imagine what nothing was, and that's what's out here. It was empty, Moses said, as he wrote other things in Genesis. But what's important for us to see is nothing happened until God said, let there be light. Nothing happens until we speak. Let that soak in. Every Sunday, we take prayer requests and pray for people. Man, I can say this too because I'm leaving. No. But have we, as a church, went out and spoke healing into those people. That we've asked prayers for. I know some of you have. Nothing happened until God said. It's hard to believe. But all he had to do was say it and bring it into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. All he did was speak, and the earth took form, changed. God willed these creative events into existence. There's a certain mood in Hebrew language. It's called voluntative. And what it says is that, and when you read it, was, it's my will that this happens. It was God's will that it happens. English doesn't have that particular mood. It includes a couple different forms, but the word let is used in the same way. It's an expression of God's will when he said, let this happen. So he completes the creation story. He speaks and things happen. It's interesting, in the beginning of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and I want you to listen to these words. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness. In parentheses, in Amplified, he said, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Now, what's interesting is those next six words. Male and female, he created them. I don't care what anybody says, there is no they gender. Because it doesn't say it here. Here. It says created male and female. But yet we've got people. I'm not going there. He gave man, probably a good thing. He gave man dominion over everything. And so God placed man there for a reason. To rule over. To take authority. And human beings became the climax of God's creation. And what have we done? We've lost it. We have let Satan take authority over us. God gave man dominion over the earth in Genesis 1:26. Man relinquished his authority to Satan. It's something I wrote, and I usually put stuff in red if I really want to remember it. It said, but now it gets really good. God gave man dominion. Dominion, which death and resurrection, he has defeated Satan. Satan is not authority in this world because he is not a citizen of this world. You and I are real citizens. Satan's an illegal alien in this world. Because we are created here as citizens. He wasn't created here. And so words are simply more than air passing over our larynx and coming out. They have deep-seated meaning. And they do more than just convey information. They can speak life, and they can speak death. The power of words can destroy a person's spirit. We've all heard, and it's not hard to do it as you walk through the mall at Christmas time, or if you shop online, you don't hear it. But you hear parents yelling at their kids. Have you ever wanted to go up and just shake them? Slap them around a little bit? Leroy's with me. The parents, in my opinion, Karen, but that's a good question. there are a few kids that I wouldn't mind getting my hands on. But they, you know, a lot of times you hear them speaking words of death. You don't shut up, I'm going to beat your butt or something, you know. I mean, you hear that stuff. Aren't there better ways to handle that stuff? Words can stir up hatred, they can stir up violence, and we see it. Like him or not, like the administration or not, you don't tell people to attack people in a restaurant. That's wrong. They can inflict wounds directly, the things that we say. They can bring wholeness too. They can bring life. They can bring peace. They can bring joy. Hey, they can bring healing. That's the word within the words that we speak. I was talking to my brother the other day, and he was telling me about this restaurant he went to. And he said, I haven't seen anything but bad reviews on it. And I'm figuring, you're the guy to go there then. But he said, that's all I heard. You're going to miss this. But that's all, but he said, that's all I've heard was bad stuff. The service was bad. The food was bad. And that, you know, when you read this stuff, you never, you know, I mean, people will put bad stuff down. They won't put good stuff down. I said, well, how was it? He said, it was really good. And I said, well, what? He said, well, the food was good and the service was good. And I said, did you put anything out there that told people that it was okay? That it wasn't as bad. It wasn't the pit that they thought it was. No, but I need to do that. That four-letter word, need, because there's things I need to do. Of all the creatures on the planet, man is the only one with the ability to communicate through the spoken word. The power to use words is a unique gift from God. No one else, nothing else has it but us. And that's part of that dominion. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So are we willing this Christmas season, when we see somebody bump into us or feel somebody bump into us at the mall, rather than get upset, are we willing to forgive them? Veterans Day at Texas Roadhouse. I pull in the parking lot, some guy's backing out, turn the turning signal on. Some guy comes the other way and pulls in and takes the parking place. So I roll the window down, and I said, I was waiting to park there. And he said, your truck won't fit there. I said, that safe parking place is the same size as every other one. It'll fit. And so I told him, I said, have a good day. And I went and parked in the back of the parking lot and got my steps in for the restaurant. There's an upside to everything. I could have got upset, but he wasn't going to move. So why go through all that? We can love that guy or we can hate that guy. We can compliment him for being quicker than I am, or I can sit around and complain about him taking my space. I can be bitter about it if I choose to. Or I can just sit there and think, well, God blessed you with a better spot than I got, but I'm getting more exercise than you're getting. Our words can give victory or defeat. What we say to people, how we say it. And I had this revelation this week. It's as easy to speak words of faith and support than it is to speak words of negativity. It's that same air that passes over our larynx. It's just, how am I going to use it? What am I going to say? Matthew says, but I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Words are important. Jesus, those were actually words in red. Those are words that Jesus said, that we're accountable for what we say. I listened to a guy on 1560 occasion, a guy named Charles Capps. And Charles Capps was a farmer that became a faith teacher. He's an interesting guy to listen to. Unfortunately, he's passed away, but he is some great stuff. But he said, I was a farmer, and he said, I never planted wheat and thought I was going to get corn. I planted wheat and I expected to get wheat. If we plant words of destruction, that's what we're going to grow. So Paul's urging us to be a blessing in what Sally read in Romans. Christianity's not a don't religion. It constantly overwhelms me of why people fight Christianity. It's this whole idea I think it's the whole idea of I got to give something up. What? What do you have to give up? Well, I drink a beer. Drink the beer. Let God deal with it. You don't have to deal with it alone. Let God work through what we do to radically transform us, to radically change us. So what's this have to do with an Advent message? What are you talking about? Words have to do with the second Sunday of Advent. It's the word peace. My prayer this Advent season is that we all give the gift of kindness, of gentleness, of words of encouragement, words of prosperity, words of life, words of peace. We take a lot of stuff down, we don't, but Nancy does. A lot of stuff down to the Serenity House. The Serenity House is a place in Hamilton with about 40 men. And that's where we were collecting the sweatshirts and the jackets and stuff for them. We took them down there, and we took down a bunch of jeans and stuff, and they were excited to get them. And Nancy asked the lady down there, said, does anybody do anything for these 40 men at Christmas? And the lady's response was, people don't even care about these 40 men. Which is a sad thought. But guess what Nancy's doing? Fixing a stocking for all of them to take it down to give it to them. What's it going to have in it? Toothpaste? A toothbrush? Deodorant? I don't know what it's going to have in it. I wish that we had the means to bring those 40 people here. I really do. Think about that next year. As you invite your families, what am I going to say to them to get them to come, other than we expect you to come? How can I encourage them? What are we going to do for people's needs this year, and how are we going to meet those needs? What actions, what words are we going to say that will change their lives? Peter said, in your hearts set apart from Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. My prayer is, let the power of the words that we speak be words of faith, be words of comfort, be words of healing. I think we're going to have another healing service. Before I leave on the 22nd. In fact, we're going to do it. So if you know somebody that's sick, get them here. I know somebody I'm going to invite. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to speak words of faith, of growth, of health, of prosperity, of healing, of peace, and not words of hate in that stuff. So let that be our, it's okay to give ourselves a gift. Let's let that be the gift that we give to ourselves this year. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the gift of Jesus and for the gifts that He gives us. And so, Lord, as we receive those gifts, let us give the gift of a positive thought, a positive word, a positive hug, a pat on the back to those people, Lord, that are desperately hurting. But don't let us forget each other. Lord, we thank You for this Advent season. We thank You for the second Sunday when we talk and celebrate peace. And so, Lord, it's Yours. Take the word and let it feed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.